Welcome to Songcatcher right here on Radio Adelaide on digital, online, and 101.5 FM. I'm Claire here with Chin, Adrian.
Hello there.
Hello, Clayton out there in radio listening world. Billy on the panel, and yes. We're ready to rock and roll.
Yes, we're without Clayton tonight, but I'm sure we'll get through because we've got Songcatcher guests as usual. Tonight's Songcatcher guests are a very hard-working duo, having performed over 750 gigs.
That's so, right.
As Lily and Drum over recent years, including lots of pub gigs, festivals, and opening for several high-profile acts. We've called them in because they've just released their fourth studio album. This is Right Now. That's what it's called. And we're going to take the opportunity to talk to them about it and play some tracks. So a very warm Songcatcher welcome to Lily Higgins and John Yakka from Lillian and Drum.
Thank welcome.
You. How are you?
Hello, everyone.
Me. Your previous three albums have all done well on the Australian Blues and Roots National Airplay chart, so no doubt you're hoping for similar success this time around.
Yeah, it's hard to know, really, because this one's not probably as bluesy as the last couple had a bit more of that vein, but who knows? You never know. We didn't even know that the first one had ever charted, so that was a complete surprise we found that out.
And they had quite a bit of variety on it as well. Yeah. As do all our CDs, really.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is, are you trying new things this time, or is it, have you pretty much worked out what your audience is like and play to that?
Well, we're always trying new things.
Yeah, for
hopefully
sure.
Hopefully something great comes upon us. We try anyway.
So what's a special point of this album?
A special point? We just really went out to write the best songs that we possibly could. Uh-huh. That's all. Don't you think, John?
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, we sort of planned to do an album, but it took a little longer because we were just playing so much and just couldn't get the time to stay home and concentrate on getting the songs out. Yeah. But Lily had written the song This Is Right Now, and it was a real inspiring song, and we thought, right, let's go with that as the title, and let's get the rest of them done.
So
we dragged a couple out of the cupboard. We had a couple sitting in the cupboard, which we dusted off and gave a little bit of a spruce to, and they made it on the album.
Sounds very nice. So does that mean like most of the songs in this album are quite inspirational?
Well, hopefully, there's a little bit of everything really, but definitely there's a bit of vein of. You know, inspiration.
Mm. Can you tell us about the cover? Because it's very nice. I really like the cover.
Basically, the background's reasonably generic. And then we got, we sort of cut and shut and added our images. And you'll notice the windmill, which we were a little bit worried when we first put it together. We thought, it looks a little bit country. Are people going to think it's a country album, but
you have to know it's a sort of orangey.
Yeah, it's pretty bright. It's fairly bright. It's probably too bright
sort
for country,
of
but
with a windmill,
long grass. So it looks like it is out in the country.
And and look, the windmill's pretty significant in the sense that it all started about 25 years ago or so when I was to tour across the eastern states with a band called Iron Horse, and there was this particular windmill just out of Narrandera, from Hay to Narrandera, and it was just there on the landscape, and it just looked so nice, and I was always attracted to the Australian outback landscape, and so I decided, look, I needed to have a photo with that windmill, and then years later, when we went past this windmill, I would always have a new photo with it.
Oh, lovely. And, wow.
Anyhow, unfortunately, that's not the windmill because we just did not have a good enough photo of that particular windmill, and I didn't have the time to drive to Narrandera to take a good one. But we did find a
no friends in Narrandera to
we didn't
Facebook
really.
It to you. Or
no, so but I have to confess that my infidelity to the windmill, because there's been other windmills since in different parts of the country.
That's right.
So we didn't think we needed to get that particular windmill.
That's right.
Lovely.
All right, we should probably start our exploration of the album by playing, starting with a track, and we might as well start with the title track. So this is Lily and the Drum with This Is Right Now.
I held my head up high, turned my face to the sun. I'm tired of waiting in the shadow for my time to come. Not sure where I should be heading, just wanna find my place. But the tick-tock of the clock tells me I can't stay. This is right now. There's so much I would do if I had my time again. So I know I can't waste another minute on regret. My heart's beating so fast, 'cause I know this time it's real. Not just gonna talk about it, I'm acting on the way I feel.
Drum with This Is Right Now, the title track from their new CD. You told us before that when that song came in, and that's one of Lily's songs. When that song came in, that's made you decide to.
That was the spark. She had that song, and we really knew that we had to get an album around it then. So we'd been playing around with different jams and bits and pieces. We had bits and pieces, but once she got that together, and I guess, you know, she came to the room with
we always work. We nut out these songs together. The final product is always the both of us sort of change a few things, you know, add or take a word away or whatever, change the groove a bit, but that was pretty close.
Yeah, and so it's a good song.
Is this track typical of the rest of the album? Or?
Well, on the album there's quite a lot of variety, so I'm not sure to say it was typical because we got fast, slow and everything in between. So,
no, I think Adrian means in terms of the construction of the songs. Is that what you meant?
That'll do.
That'll do.
Well, look, just to, I guess explain that a bit more. In most cases, we've had some of those songs were started from a jam. So we'd be in the room jamming and then we decide, wow, that sounded good. Because we've got a button there that we just press. So our room is set up, everything's pre-mic'd, everything, drum kit, the whole lot.
Just in case.
Yeah, if we start jamming and it feels good, I turn around and hit the button. Yeah. And that way we capture the bits and pieces. And then from that, a song may come of it and it may not. Or, as Lily said, she comes into the room, she's had an idea, she's been working on it for a while, and then it gets completed in the band room. And then there's been ones where she's had a few words, a couple of chords, and we sit together and nut it out, and it can be starting with the drum groove. One of them, I think it might even be the next song.
John had this groove on the drums, and he'd play it quite a few times, and... So we've got to write a song around this groove. So that's how that one started.
Got to keep that one in, yeah.
But what inspired you to write this particular song?
Which one? This is Right Now. Well, I guess really you just have to sometimes look at your life and think, where am I and where do I want to go? And sometimes you got to change. And the only way to change is to make a move to do things to head in the right direction, I guess. So.
And do it right now.
That's right, because you've got no other time, really.
You don't put it off.
That's right.
Increasingly less time.
Increasingly less time, and it's just good for you to try to change things.
Okay, so you're sort of sitting there with the machine, you press the button and record all these jams, but the actual recording of the CD, was that done at home as well? Or?
No, not this one. That was recorded at Fat Track Studios with a good friend of ours, Matt Williams. And we decided, we went in there to actually only do about three or four songs and we were going to do the rest at home because we were running out of time. We didn't have the time that we wanted to have. So
we do have a home studio.
Yeah, we do have.
We thought we might go there and do three or four.
Previous albums have been recorded at home?
They've been a mixture. The third album was totally recorded in our studio. The second album was half and half, and the first album was all the drum tracks and guitars recorded at our studio, and then we went and did the vocals and finished off bits and pieces in Fat Tracks. But this one here, as I said, we went in to record four songs, basically, and it happened pretty well. Once we got the drums and everything, so everything mic'd up and everything sound checked and it was ready to roll, the four songs went off really quick. And it was lunchtime and I said to Lily, I said, oh, do you know what, should we just keep going? Because we're going to do the other six. We weren't even going to do 11 on the album. We're going to do the other six at home to try and save money, spread the time out. We didn't think Matt had the time to do the whole album. So we said, okay, let's just see how many songs we can get done by the end of the day. And we pretty much had all the drums right by the end of the day and probably I'll say 60% of guitars and probably 50-60% of vocals,
because we recorded a lot of it together,
we really tried to keep it as live as possible, so we played together, we took the best takes, and it just surprisingly came together really quickly. And then a few more days to just tidy up some vocals, tidy up some guitars. And consequently, because we didn't really think we'd have this album ready by the end of 2018, as it turned out, we had everything back at home, 1,000 CDs in boxes.
That before was our Christmas present. It was
Before Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. But we had a big tour booked.
In January, yeah.
In New South Wales, so we couldn't really...
release it officially. So it was officially released in February.
Just for radio. Gone. And we've got a launch coming up.
Okay. We'll talk about the launch in a sec. You mentioned Matt there. Was anybody else involved in the recording? No, other musicians? No?
Just the three of us.
Yeah, Matt Williams is a wonderful guitarist and
bass player. So he
bass player as well.
He would play bass.
Technician.
With us.
Amazing.
He would sit behind the controls, a bit like Billy there with a bass strapped to him. And
We never have Billy there with a bass strapped to him.
No.
It does a bit of drumming on the desk occasionally.
Yeah, so basically we play these things sort of live. I call it semi-live. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to kid anyone that it was total live takes. Mm-hmm. But the drums, we just sort of, if it took three goes or four goes, might have been a song there that took a few more goes than that, then we would just keep recording until the drums were right. And we kept the bits that went with it that were good. Mm. So that was a great way of doing it.
Because you've got a fair bit of experience as a sound engineer and record producer yourself, so that must mean you're sitting there knowing what you're looking for, knowing how you want it to sound.
Yes, pretty much. Yes. Yeah, so, and Matt and I understand each other pretty well, and he's a guy to work with, and very cluey, much cluier than I am. Very good at it. I don't profess to be good at it. I can just do it. And but yeah, it really helps when you can convey your message and the person understands the message. And I might say, look, you've got a bit too much of this on that or that on this, you know,
too much
300 hertz on those toms, nip a bit out, you know, all that sort of stuff. It just all helps to get the thing moving along nice and quickly.
And he actually played some really nice lead parts on, I think, only about three songs.
The rest
but he
we
added
kept.
Some great lines.
Mm. The rest we tried to keep it Lily and the drum.
Well, you've sort of got to keep it, in your case, you've got to keep it what it's going to sound like when you go out there and play.
Well, that's right. We can play all these songs live on air.
Yeah. We actually played a few of these. We actually tested a few of these live before we went in, and they sounded good live, so we figured, well, it's going to work in the studio.
But we had Matt with his wonderful guitar playing, and so he did a few of the lead breaks. Whereas when we do it live, John plays harmonica, and he does it on the harmonica. So a little different, but
okay. And so, who wrote? You're talking about you bringing in one song, and that you sort of change, you know, add bits to it. But how did that go for most of the songs on the album? Are they all sort of co-writes, or you
No, I think the next one we're talking about, that's the one with the groove.
Yeah, right.
Started with the drum beat, basically. And then Lily had a few words in your head, I think, and you just sort of chewed them around a bit as we were playing with the groove. Because I am talking about the right song, No More, is that
no
the next
more?
Song? Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one. And, look, that one actually came pretty quickly too. I reckon we did that in a day.
Mm.
We just kept going over it, and Lily eventually got the guitar line that worked the best with the groove. The groove's is a modified version of quite a common groove used in the blues and Latin field, and everyone sort of does use the accent on the two and the four. And then I thought, I might just change this a little bit and drop the accent from the two, and it gave it a real nice edge that we were looking for. So
we had to write an edgy song around that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we better have a listen to it. This song is called No More from Lily and the Drum.
No more. things you've done. You think you're smart, but your wells run dry, so you'll sink or sail when I say.
From Lily and the Drum. I really like the drum parts. Very nice.
Yeah, the drum certainly stands out in that track.
Yeah.
And it's 24 minutes past 9 on Songcatcher.
Wow.
On Radio Adelaide, 101.5, Rich and Real. So there we go.
Rich and Real.
Rich and Real.
Like
okay, we're going to leap into talking in a bit more detail about one of these songs now. We've heard a couple, so now we'll talk in a bit more detail about a song called Possibility. This is a song that you picked out as being the one that you wanted to tell us a little bit more detail about.
That's right.
So please start.
Okay, well, Possibility was, I think Lily penned the majority of the words for this, and the music, I think, came together as a duo. We were jamming with once again a little bit of a groove and a little bit of an idea of an electric sort of rhythmic groove for it. Mm. The actual substance of the song, it's really was inspired by the fact that we don't sort of consider ourselves protest band or duo, whatever you want to call us, but you know we do. Care for our planet, our people, and care about what's happening around us. And we try not to get too political about it, but we felt that we needed to write a little song where it was exploring the possibility of people coming together for the common good of all.
People power, basically.
People power, in the good sense, because I noticed it was used badly after the after a certain documentary, but people coming together for the common good of all, instead of a lot of decisions being made on our behalf for the good of either an individual or an organisation or some political faction, or in some cases religious factions. So the song also sort of saying to people, the people in power, that watch out, we're coming to get you. Not get you, but we're coming. Our ideas,
that's right,
as a group are eventually going to come, and you will have to listen to
and
us.
The possibility of that happening is just fantastic.
I really like that. So do you have the goal, like what kind of world or what kind of result you want to achieve?
Well,
I guess you have to leave that up to the people who are listening to the song, but I think a lot of the people do. There's a common vein. Uh-huh. Most people want what's good for them and their children and their grandchildren,
yeah,
and the planet, don't they? Mm. They just want things to be.
Should be
done well.
The end result should
fair.
Be for the common good of all human beings,
yeah,
and animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's not forget the animals and the planet itself. That,
yeah,
you know, we all need to coexist together. And you know, I think that's neglected too often.
Yeah, you can let the possibility take over and go with it.
So that's the the reason for the title is
possibility
is to consider the possibility.
That's right. Take us over now. Show us what you got.
So you wrote the lyrics first, and then you worked together.
No, this was a groove. It sort of started as a groove.
You did have a batch of lyrics, though, Lily.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you came in with a batch of lyrics.
I forgot about that.
And then we you know. With a lot of your songs, you'll have some basic strums, and then I'll say,
yeah,
how about this groove, and how about you get the electric guitar
that's
out?
That's right.
Let's put the acoustic guitar away for this one.
That's right.
And we did.
And this is the result.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to Possibility.
That's right.
Possibility. Oh, I really like that track, and I really love the way the vocals and the drums work together. And I think people often forget how melodic rhythms can be.
Oh, definitely.
When you've got a drum kit and you can just got that whole expanse to play with.
Yeah, well, I was just commenting on air that I thought that would be a track that would sound really good live.
So yeah, it seems to work well.
Yeah, it's great for us to play it live. We really enjoy it. You can really get into it.
That's right.
So I think this is quite popular.
It is very popular, actually. It's surprised us, a very popular little tune.
Different age groups seem to like it.
So what do you think is the secret is?
Oh, if we knew the secret, I'll tell you what. Oh,
they're not going to give a secret.
We'd be rich and famous by now, I think. But
as your program says, the song catcher, you've got to be in a position to catch them as they float by.
Oh, yes. It'd be nice to catch those.
And we sort of half believe that. Well, we sort of believe that. But that's how it happens.
I do. I think you have to get into almost a trance sometimes and just hope that something will find you.
But you've got to make yourself available to catch it. It's no use sitting there in front of the computer doing something else or watching TV because you're not going to catch it. But
you've got to be out there with your net.
You've got to be out there with your net, having a go, trying, and every now and then, poof.
I think, yeah. Also, as what you said, you're always open to try new things and don't stick to the form.
Correct,
I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, that's us. We if you heard our jam tapes, you'd probably, you know,
they're not so good.
Yeah, they're not so good to listen to, but there's everything and anything in them. And then we'll pick what we feel has got potential. But we'll jam on any idea. And we will mix up all the genres in one song, yes.
So how do you work together?
Surprisingly, we actually work quite well together.
Yeah, because you were both songwriters before you met each other, weren't
you? How did you meet each other?
So, you know, how is it different now working together on songs as opposed to how you used to write songs separately?
Well, I wasn't much of a songwriter before I worked with Lily. I did write a few, for sure.
But a lot of lyrics, a lot of writing.
It was harder because I can't really play a guitar properly or a keyboard properly, right? I am a drummer. I do play harmonica. But with the other previous bands, I would actually hum my ideas to the guys and they would sit there with the guitar and I'd go, yeah, nah, can you do that? And boom, boom, and they'd get a song
very
for
good.
Me.
It needs to go somewhere up there. Or
yeah, over there somewhere.
Yeah. That's right, something like that. Or get a feel.
Yeah, the director.
But when Lily and I got together and started writing songs, it was a totally different experience. It really became her and I working together, and she's my instrument, which is fantastic because I've now got my own personal instrument.
And he also plays harmonica now, and he didn't used to do that before. That's only since we've come together as Lily and the drum, sort of thought we needed a little
something extra.
Know, a bit of a lead instrument there.
But why harmonica? Is it very?
Because I've always wanted to play it, and I never disciplined myself to learn it. And we were in New South Wales one time. This is just at the beginning of Lily and the Drum. Uh-huh. And we went into a music shop, and I looked at the harmonicas and basically decided to buy one. She said, well, you better learn to play it. You're going to need to play it. And I did. And so I disciplined myself to learn best as possible.
Can't just toss some money around.
Didn't think he had enough to do.
So what happens if one of you comes up with an idea that the other one doesn't like or you don't consider it to be suitable for the band?
You just got to be honest, and I am.
He's brutally honest.
Brutal.
And you just got to say, look, I really don't think.
But that's okay. I don't mind that. That's
yeah, you've got to do that.
You didn't feel like defensive?
Oh, I have done.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Uh-huh. I understand. You know, sometimes if we record an idea and you leave it for a while and you go back and you realise, probably right about that
one. The word trust me gets used a lot in our room. No. Just trust me, Lily. Do it like this. Change that. Trust me. Come on. And then usually once we do that.
I do exactly the same thing. Don't worry. He'll say, no, that's got to change. And no, you've got to trust me on this one.
I suppose the opposite might happen too, where you listen back to something that you disregarded and you think, oh, that's a better idea than I thought it was.
That's exactly what happens. And that's why it's good to record things when you're just having a bit of a jam, even if it's just a tiny little idea, it can, you know, be the start of a song. It's good.
And there's been times where Lily said, no, you're not changing that.
Oh, absolutely.
And I listen.
So there you go, a bit of give and take goes on.
All right, well, we'll continue with some music then. The next track is I Want the Truth.
Oh, This was written about a friend of mine who was in an on and off sort of relationship, and she really decided she wanted to know the truth, where she stood. And unfortunately, she did this while she was out with some girlfriends on a night out. Probably not a great time to be ringing people up and, you know, seeking the truth. But she told me this story about what happened, and it was just the idea for this song. And we just had a bit of fun with the beat and the groove. Mm. So that's what it's about.
Okay, let's.
We all want the truth.
I Want the Truth by Lily and the Drum from their brand new CD, which is called This Is Right Now.
That's right.
Excellent. Okay. John, you spent 10 years in Iron Horse,
mm-hmm.
thereabouts.
Yep.
And then there was Cosmic Desert.
Cosmic Desert was 4/5 of Iron Horse.
So you're pretty much used to playing in larger bands.
Yes.
What made you both think that the duo format would work for you? If you know?
Well, we never thought about it. What happened was we were in a Lily and I met in the band Cosmic Storm, which was a sort of a move on from Cosmic Desert. So we kept the Cosmic
for the
part.
Band. That's how we met.
Yeah, Lily auditioned. We were looking for a female singer because we really wanted to do something with a female. Mm-hmm. And so she got the job. And
can't get rid of me.
But we, the band was writing an album. Actually, we recorded an album. And but we were writing, and Lily and I would get together and do a bit of writing for the band, but it became apparent that some of the stuff we were writing really didn't suit the band. So in our course of writing, obviously there was the two of us, I'm on the drum kit or percussion of some sort, and Lily's got the acoustic guitar, and some of the songs just seemed to really work like that. But they were a bit not quite right for Cosmic Storm, which was a fairly, at that time, was a fairly gutsy sort of outfit. And we had other songs that were much more suited to that band. And so we had a sort of little collection. I'll say a little. There's probably only about a half a dozen songs there. And then I'm not even really sure how it happened, but we ended up getting asked or whatever to the...
Someone had a singer-songwriter's night happening at the Promethean. Remember the Promethean?
Oh, yeah.
And they needed a few acts, and the guy knew John and asked if he knew any acts.
Acoustic. He wanted sort of like acoustic-style acts, and I thought...
And John thought, why not us?
If we could take our songs there and give them a go. So we jammed around with them at home and tidied them up.
And wrote a new one.
And wrote a new one and sat back and said, you know what, they're working sonically. They're actually working with just the two of us. And off we went. And there goes Lily and the drum, and we got another show and another show and another show and another show. And Cosmic Storm been going to a sort of slow halt.
Been going for quite a few years now.
Yeah, 7-odd years now, 7.5 or 3/4 or whatever.
7.5, I think.
And Lily, had you been doing much in the way of being a front person before this? You were doing some backing vocals, weren't you?
I was 15 when I joined a band, and I was a backup singer. I think I had 2 lead songs. Oh. And... but I was really into it after that. I've been in bands ever since.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't find it threatening to be the person doing all the vocal?
No. It's a natural progression. I've always really loved, you know, being a vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing, really. I love to play guitar, but I was mainly a vocalist before I met John. And it's only since Lily and the drum that I've really... you know, played so much guitar, it's been good for me.
So you really enjoy your singing, like, journey?
Yes, absolutely.
And also I heard that you actually have a lot of guitar at home, is it correct? Guitars at home?
I have got quite a few guitars.
How many guitars do you have?
Oh, goodness. I've got 2 electrics and about 4 acoustics,
wow.
I think.
Not as many as some people have.
No. But I've got a couple of favourites.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually 3 electrics there.
I play a Duo Jet Gretsch and a Tanglewood acoustic electric.
So it's kind of suits in different songs. That's why you bought different guitars.
Yes, but they're my main ones I go out gigging with. The 2, the Gretsch Duo Jet and the Tanglewood, are my favourite.
Lovely.
And you talked earlier about the variety in your songs, and I think maybe part of that might have come originally from the fact that you both had older siblings who influenced your musical tastes.
You got that right.
And listened to a lot of stuff, and we'll hear some more about that in mixtape, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, yeah. My brother left me his record collection when I was 13, so...
So are all those original influences still driving things, or do you think you've moved on and learnt different...
Oh, we've definitely discovered more music along the way.
Oh, yeah, we're always looking for new music. So it's a natural progression, just letting things in, and they all have an effect on you.
I don't know if people were ever at a radio station called Dig 200, going back a few years. That was a great station, and it showcased a lot of great new music.
Especially Australian.
Okay, well, we'll get on to the next track because it's a bit of a longer track and we want to get all the songs in tonight. So this song is called Shaken to the Bone. So
Shaken to the Bone.
Tell us about this one.
It's just about those times in life that come along to really test you, and, you know, life is not going so well and you get rattled. You get rattled to the core. I think a lot of people experience that, and more people talk about it now. Hopefully it's just a temporary state of mind, but there are those times they just... you know, shake your foundations. So there's a song about that.
Okay, this is called Shaken to the Bone.
are creeping in, voices getting loud, the questions they are flying, and my heart starts to pound. I'm lost in the middle of a bad, bad dream, even though I know things aren't always as they seem. Shaken to the bone, shaken to the bone, rattled to the core. Stayed up all night trying to work it all out. I'm treading water, just splashing around. I jumped into the river when I could not swim. Now I feel I'm running in a race I cannot win. Shaken to the bone, shaken to the bone, rattled to the core.
But we're going to run out of time if we keep playing the whole thing, and we want to find out about the launch that you've got for this CD. Where are you doing it and when?
Okay, so our CD launch, and we're actually going to call it a CD celebration, will be on Saturday, May the 18th at the Kentish Hotel in the Wine Shed, which Kentish Hotel,
nice
North Adelaide.
And on Stanley Street.
Nice little side room they've got there for those of you that are familiar with it.
But so what's the date and time again?
It will be 8 o'clock on Saturday, May the 18th.
And we've also got a special guest opening the show. It's actually something different. It's Razzie the Magician.
The Hipster Trickster.
The Hipster Trickster.
What if he makes the audience disappear?
Hopefully
okay,
he's going to make it increase.
Them back.
Okay, and any other upcoming gigs?
We'll be doing guitars and bars in July, but we'll be heading off on quite an extensive tour as well.
The guitars and bars, we're going to bring in the members of Cosmic Storm, our last band together. We haven't never broken up. We're going to do half Lily in the drum, half Cosmic Storm.
Okay, and easily contactable on Facebook and all that sort of stuff?
We've got Facebook, we've got our website, www.instagram.com.
And I'll just give you Lily's mobile number here.
Okay, before we'll go out with the last track, The Rain Dance, which I believe is a final bit of a story to it, but we haven't got time to tell a story. It was just one that was holding on for a while.
Yeah, this is one that I wrote with Iron Horse many years ago, but we never released it, and it sat in the cupboard, and Lily and the drum all thought, hey, let's dust it off and get it out there.
I always love this song.
Okay, before we go to the song, there's a couple of announcements. Previous Songcatcher guest Luca Bloom is on at the Gov Wednesday night Scala live at the Wheatie on Thursday night, April 4th, with Alan Hartley, Freya Lani, and Susan Lilly Trio. Trinity Sessions Sunday, April 7th, 5 p.m. with Amy, I think you pronounced the name, Amy Tyrrell, and Dane Kennedy. The Wheatie on Sunday with the Fairy Lights, that's Casey Thompson and Emma Luca, with folk trio Porch Light Parade, and that will be one for you to get us in clear, to get the Porch Light Parade into Beyond Songcatcher. And Stone Ponies on this weekend too, Saturday the 6th, April, Adelaide Songs and Goldstein. So there's tons of music on this weekend. Okay, thanks very much to Lily and the Drum coming in. And just
thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
It's been great. You guys really promote original artists in South Australia. We appreciate it.
What's the last song we are going to hear?
Yes, tell us the story again about the rain dance.
The rain dance is about the story of Burke and Wills and the ill-fated journey that they took. So, I've always been fascinated by that story.
And it was written a little bit before this album.
It was. Oh, it was written quite some years ago and sat in a dusty shelf.
But he added it
for many years.
But he added a bit in the middle here.
We did. We added a narrative. We actually reworked the song. And
it's a bit different, but it's a good song, I think.
All right. Well, stick around for Mixtape with Lily and the Drum. And we're going out with The Rain Dance.
Yeah. August 1860, a group of 19 men led by Burke and Wills set off to cross the Australian continent. Heading north from Melbourne, they walked for miles and miles across the sunburnt land. It was a race across the country from the south to the north and reached the Gulf of Carpentaria. Their mission was to find new lands and cut a path for future settlement. There were rumours of an inland sea, mountains and rivers. It was going to be an adventure of a lifetime. But in the end, it all fell apart at Cooper's Creek. And the story of Burke and Wills and the Dick Tree became a legend.
I can hear the rain dance. I can hear the rain dance.